In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a startling occurrence, brothers and sisters, right after the Nativity of the Lord, actually, probably, about a year afterwards, but in the Scriptures, immediately after it is described. Herod kills the 14,000 holy innocents because of his lust for power, his pride, arrogance, his godlessness. A holy event had occurred, the beginning of the salvation of mankind, and yet the world did not know. And those that were in power were afraid, so much that, of course, so many were killed. There is a metaphor there for us. You know, when you read the Scriptures, you read historical events, but they have spiritual meaning. So what meaning does this event have for us? That Herod would kill so many, such joy would come into the world, and yet such agony shortly thereafter. It is a lesson for us. The Christian life is a battle, brothers and sisters. We see in our day where Christianity is gotten to the point where it has taken all effort out of it, all morality out of it. People can call themselves Christians and do anything and believe anything. This is not Christianity. Christianity is to fight against the forces of evil, dark forces. And Herod was completely in league with these dark forces because there was darkness in his soul. So even though a great event had occurred with great joy and with great promise for all of us, there was this terrible, terrible murder which occurred such that Rachel would weep for her children because they are not. We must learn from this. Christianity is effort and struggle. And also, we must learn how to deal with evil. The way evil is dealt with in movies is the good guy goes and kills all the bad guys. This is not the way it is in the Christian life. In the Christian life, we forgive our enemy. In the Christian life, when we are struck on one cheek, we turn the other to be struck also. When someone takes something from us, we give him another thing. And in the same idea, the same kind of spirit, the way we resist evil is not by squashing it, by crushing it, but by trusting in God. This is what Joseph did. By the way, if you notice, Joseph had been, we have several occurrences now where he is notified by an angel, but it's always in a dream. The Theotokos spoke to angels directly. Joseph, although he was holy, only spoke to angels in a dream. But these angels directed him to do what he should do. And so, in obedience to the angel, to God, he went to Egypt. Most likely he didn't really understand what he was being told to do, why he was being told to do it. It was not all clear to him, but he did. And then, later on, when Herod was dead, he was told by an angel to come back to Israel. But knowing that there was still danger and being afraid, he was afraid to go where he'd been told to go to. So an angel came to him and basically verified his fear and said, go to this other place, go to Nazareth. Now, it's easy for us to see why all these things happened, because we have hindsight. And Joseph didn't have that. He was living day to day. And he was just obeying God and doing what he was told. So should we be. There's a lot in this life that's not hard, that's very hard to understand. A lot that's very difficult. It's hard to understand why, with such goodness and greatness that is in us, why we do other also do evil things. Why the church is so weak, although it is strong. These are hard things to understand. The only way, really, to understand them is to become holy. It's the only way. And just to obey God and to trust in Him. But obeying God and trusting Him is not just saying, oh, I trust God. That's easy to do. I mean, the Lord at one point said, which is easier to say? You know, your sins are forgiven, or rise, take up your bed and walk. Which is easier? Well, you can always say something that's invisible, nobody can see any proof of. But doing something is a lot harder. So it's the same way here. We can say we trust in God, but do we live like we trust in God? That's the question. Do we pray? Do we fast? Do we struggle? Do we struggle to be good to people that are not good to us? Do we struggle not necessarily to make sense out of situations with our minds, but instead to obey God in our hearts regarding these situations, whether people are slandering us, or whether there's unfairness at work, or some situation at home, or whatever it is? We must apply what happened here to our lives. Otherwise, it's just a story. You know, it's just a story that can be, you know, in between songs about Santa Claus on the radio. No. We must apply this to our lives. Joseph trusted in God. Now, he had angels speaking to him. I don't know if any of us have ever had angels speak to us, because we're not holy. But even without angels, God speaks to us. God shows us what we should do. And you know, it's not flashy, and it's not easy, and it doesn't immediately solve the problem. No. We would like it to, but it doesn't. Instead, we just have to live day to day, trusting in God, and hoping in Him, and doing what is right. Even when it doesn't feel right, even when it doesn't give us much satisfaction, even when we're still in a sticky problem that we would like to react to like the world reacts to. But we shouldn't do that. The God-man Jesus Christ could have had legions of angels to protect him, and instead he fled to Egypt. The God-man Jesus Christ could have protected those 14,000 holy innocents. But by his inscrutable will, he fled to Egypt, and they died. I don't know why. I don't think you know why. I don't think any mortal knows why that happened. Except that we know that it is in God's will. And if it's in God's will, then it is good. It's a hard thing to know. A hard thing to understand. The only way to know it, I repeat again, is to become holy. But just take this story as a metaphor for your life in general. Great things can happen in your heart, but bad things can be happening right outside, right in your midst. What matters is what's in the heart. What matters is what we do according to God's will, not according to what the world says or according to our external circumstances. That is what this reading teaches us. And it's a hard lesson. It's a very, very difficult lesson. Because nobody in the world wants to take this lesson. And even, let's admit it, we don't like this lesson either. Because this lesson is about patience, and about endurance, and about trust. And I'll tell you another thing. You can't trust until you become holy. Because with holiness comes knowledge, comes the ability to see things as they really are. And what is trust but not knowing what's going to happen? Not being sure. Or, excuse me, lack of trust is not knowing what's going to happen. Being afraid of the future. But those who know God are not afraid, no matter what their circumstances. Now, this is a difficult calling for us, to trust God in all circumstances. The road to this trust is holiness. It's the only way. God will help us to be holy, but we must do our part. According to our abilities, we must trust Him and apply this to our daily lives. So Herod was waxing with great anger against God's people. What did God do? God allowed him to foment them and to kill others. Because his time would come. You know, he died when his insides were eaten by worms He died in great agony. His time came. Everyone's time is going to come. And so is our time going to come. Let our time be when the Lord says, "Well done, good and faithful servant," because we struggled, because we trusted. May God help us to be like Joseph, to trust in God, whether we understand or not, and to be like the God-man Jesus Christ, to not face evil with evil, but instead with prayer and trust and submission to God. And always, always, good will win if we live in this way. Amen.